The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's a beautiful.
Aging works in different ways for everyone. It all starts from the inside. Welcome to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. We'll show you how the latest breakthroughs in understanding how to balance and optimize your body, proper nutrition, and supplements work together to keep you looking young, losing weight, and feeling rejuvenated. Now, here's Dr. Tang and Alexandra.
Hello, hello. This is Dr. Tang. Welcome to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm alongside with Alexandra. Welcome back, Alexandra.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Tang. It feels nice to be back. Today, welcome everyone to the Health and Beauty for Life show. Today, we'll be talking about stem cells, which Dr. Tang and I believe it's the future of medicine. I'm so amazed how technology just has evolved in the last 10 years. And today, we're going to be sharing some insight on things that we learned last year when we went to a training course on stem cells. And I was quite amazed to learn the function, the true function of how these stem cells work. And I hope that you, the listeners, will be just as enlightened as I was when I went through this course with Dr. Tang and learned a lot of great information.
Yeah, you know, the stem cells is really what most will consider the holy grail of regenerative medicine. This is something that has been in works for some time, but the major advancements have only taken place in the last maybe 20 years. So I wanted to kind of talk about this whole concept of stem cells and really for people to understand what are stem cells, why is there such controversy, and really talk about the future of stem cell medicine and how this will affect you in the near future. The one thing I wanted to start with is the whole idea of stem cells. And for all of you who don't know what stem cells are, you know, these are cells found in every living being. And these stem cells are, and they're made up of different types of levels of stem cells. In the beginning, when we are born from an egg and a sperm, when they actually join together, they form an embryo. And through the very first few divisions of that cell, everything then becomes a living being. So in embryology, that's truly amazing. I remember when I studied this in biology in undergrad, I was just amazed how everything was so programmed and so perfect that everything knew exactly where to go and how to go and when to go and when to stop. And it was such an amazing kind of concept to be able to pick one little small area and all of a sudden it becomes a heart, a limb, and so forth. Now, the whole industry of stem cells really started with the whole idea of embryonic stem cells. And embryonic stem cells are really kind of a cell that is able to divide and divide and divide, and it becomes pretty much anything it wants to become along a certain framework. Now, the whole idea of stem cells actually originated and was found in 1908 when the first discovery of stem cells existed. But it wasn't really into the 1980s that the embryonic stem cells from mouse were actually separated and isolated. But when we talk about stem cells, most people think of this very early on stem cells. And these cells are a controversy because these stem cells exist oftentimes, and we use these stem cells from fertility clinics. And sometimes what happens is if you want to actually, let's say, grow a certain cell, you will sometimes have to destroy a certain line, and that is very controversial. Some people believe that if you do that, then you're manipulating life. You are actually really, how would you say it, Alexandra? You are playing God with this.
King team, yeah.
And in fact, by doing so, if you even at all destroy any type of life, this is actually unethical and immoral. So there's a huge controversy over this. And so the research aspect of this has been kind of slowed down by this whole ethical dilemma. And so in 2000 or 2001, President Bush at the time ceased all type of funding for embryonic stem cells. So the federal government was not going to research this concept because of this whole concept of life. You know, when does life start? When does life end? And so I'm going not to be talking about these type of cells today. We are going to talk about another type of stem cells, and these are called adult mesenchymal stem cells. So for these type of stem cells, there are no controversy at all. So if you can imagine early on when I was talking to you about the embryo and how that divided up into many different cell lines, well, if you actually follow this lineage actually goes down from something that becomes everything to something that becomes very little, and it can only become one or two types of tissues. So this is what I'm referring to as adult mesenchymal stem cells. And it was really not into the late 1990s that they actually discovered that we actually had these type of stem cells in our fat. And from this, actually, it was a huge discovery because now what they've done is that they've actually developed ways of actually isolating these stem cells. So you can actually do this in a simple in-office procedure where you can actually take away some of these stem cells, and we can actually inject these stem cells to treat many different issues. And of these issues, for instance, one is any type of musculoskeletal injuries. And so what happens is that when you inject these stem cells, they are able to regenerate, and they grow and they grow and they grow. But what happens is that when you put them in the environment, let's say in a knee, the environment actually dictates what it becomes. So in this particular example, these stem cells can become cartilage, it can become ligament, or it can become bone. Now, because it's actually much further down the line, there's less possibilities. So you'll never be able to, let's say, form an organ, a heart, inside your knee, because these stem cells are much further down the lineage. And so what they've been able to do is they've been able to discover these stem cells and isolate them. And in the last, let's say, 5-6 years, they've been able to treat people with many different types of problems. And so this, to me, is very, very exciting because for the first time, we're going to be able to use this to regenerate tissues. And when we went to our training course, it was really an eye-opener of what they've been able to do. Now, we're going to be talking about what they've been doing it for, and we'll kind of walk you through some of the things that we've seen and some of the things they're actually doing right now, because this, I will tell you, will change the face of medicine, period. And in the best example I'm going to kind of tell you is the example of, let's say, knee arthritis. Now, for the first time, we were able to see that someone who has arthritis who pretty much needed, let's say, a knee replacement. And, you know, the typical course would be, you know, someone who develops arthritis, severe arthritis, would go in for a knee replacement. With this technology, we will be able to actually get stem cells from your fat, which is found plentifully in your stomach, or say in the flanks, or even your thighs, saddlebags. And we can actually transfer this into the knee, where it will actually start to regenerate and grow cartilage. And so when this happens, obviously this is very regenerative. This is going to be very healing. So this concept of having knee replacements would probably be out the door for the simple procedures. Now, there's always going to be a need for knee replacements and surgeries, but I think this is going to dramatically change the landscape of medicine, whereas I would say probably 80% of patients in the future will be actually getting this procedure, because who will want to have surgery? Who will want to have all the risks involved in surgery? Who will want a knee that would last, let's say, 10 years and having to do it again? I think people are going to say, no, thank you. It's going to be, I'd rather just have a simple injection. Yes, it's a minor procedure, and yes, we are doing a couple of procedures all at the same time, but to only inject stem cells into the knee and for the knee to actually grow into new cartilage, this is truly a remarkable thing. And, you know, we've kind of seen this actually in the example of, I think, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant had a similar procedure. It's not exactly stem cells per se. It's something very similar in the concept. I believe he actually flew to Germany to have this orthokine procedure. And it was, I think, only because of this type of procedure that he had a couple of summers ago that he was really able to extend his playing career. For him to have one of his best seasons in several years, for instance, from this procedure itself was truly amazing, given that he has been playing in the NBA for about 17 years. So I've pretty much followed his career, and I know his injuries over time has really made it very, very difficult for him to continue to play. But with this procedure, and what we're talking about today with stem cells, is even going to be much more powerful than the procedure he had, because these are truly stem cells, and the procedure he had was really kind of a makeshift type of procedure. So this is something that I think any person is going to want. So I wanted to talk about basically this whole process of how people are going to be able to get stem cells. So Alexandra, you know, when we went to our conference, you know, what we learned was truly amazing, and it wasn't that difficult, would you say?
No, to retrieve the stem cells, no, but to process the stem cells is very involved, and it just amazes me that there is a method and there's a way to actually do it. And what I wanted to make a comment is that, you know, I really feel that this new way of treating, like you just mentioned, a knee problem, patients will be a lot more receptive once they learn more about this type of stem cell. I think, as you mentioned in the beginning, the kind of controversial part of it, people were kind of leery, but when they realize it's actually cells coming from your own body and being, you know, processed a certain way and then re-injected, it's your stem cells. It's nothing foreign. And people will become more receptive to that. And that's when I feel like when they make that connection that it's your stem cells that is going to regenerate an area that you're going to treat is what's going to bring people the awareness and make it bigger. And that's what's going to change the face of medicine, as you mentioned in the beginning of our show.
Yeah. You know, this whole idea about these type of stem cells are at this point not controversial at all. Because these stem cells, like Alexander said, is coming from your fat. And I don't think anybody has any problem of trying to get rid of some of the fat. And so it is also to a point where they are able to, in a way, control what we call the differentiation of the cell itself. Because mm-hmm. because these stem cells have very little possibilities of becoming anything other than cartilage, bone, or muscle. And so in the use of orthopedics, this is something that can be so helpful. And there's a lot of knowledge, on how to control this type of cell. It's really when we start to look up in terms of the lineage and we don't understand how to control this, because there's so many steps that we have yet to understand that there could be problems down the road. And that's another ethical dilemma, is really to be able to make it safe. So in this type of procedure, we are actually following a group that has done over 1,000 procedures already safely and with great results. So when we come back, we'll talk more about stem cells.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you figured out what's not working in your sex life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her sex life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to create more fun, intimacy, and pleasure. Her guests also come from the sexual health and wellness industry. And together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get the sex life you've always longed for. Let's Figure It Out Intimately airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening. You're listening to Health and Beautiful. Today we're talking about stem cells and how this will become the future of medicine. The one thing I would say about the stem cells is the fact that these cells are able to continue to divide and to continue to make this particular type of cell and to renew itself. That's really the definition of a stem cell. So it's continue to divide and renew itself. Now, usually, these stem cells are at least less specialized cells. And when they do divide, they create itself, a cell of itself, and another cell that becomes more specific. And it does a certain particular type of function. So today, we're really talking about adult mesenchymal stem cells. And this is very different from embryonic stem cells, which are the controversy of today. These adult mesenchymal stem cells are actually found in two main places. One is actually our fat, and our fat meaning that the fat in our stomach, fat in our thighs, fat in our saddlebags, fat in our flanks. Now, the fat actually, there's a little difference. It is believed that the stem cells coming from the stomach are a little bit better quality than the stem cells coming from the thigh. But obviously, you can take any of these. The other source of these adult stem cells are actually found in our bone marrow. Now, it has been demonstrated that they can both work. However, it seems to be that the stem cells coming from the fat are actually much more potent, and they have a better ability to regenerate than the ones found in bone marrow. Now, as you know, if you haven't heard, we have been using stem cells, these adult stem cells from bone marrow, in the use of actually treating different types of leukemias. This is not something that's actually new. This is something that's been practiced by the hematologist for treatment of certain types of blood disorders. So what is new is the idea of using your own fat to treat things that you would never dream to be possible to treat. So that is really an amazing discovery. This concept of actually having stem cells found in the fat was actually only made probably less than 15 years ago. And so in the last, let's say, 6 years, they've now been able to develop a technique to be able to harvest these stem cells and to use it for clinical purposes. And this has been done for at least, I would say, 3 to 4 years in over thousands of cases already successfully. So for the audience listening, this is happening right now. This is not something that's kind of like space-age type of things that's going to happen in 100 years. This is actually being already practiced. Now, there are obviously some places that do it more than others, but the place that we've learned it has been doing the research involved, and they have a proprietary way of harvesting that they've developed, and they've actually trained many doctors to do that. So many of the disciples are now doing this as well. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about is, you know, the process. You know, what is really involved with, you know, the whole idea of getting stem cells, and what can we use it for? Now, to kind of get your interest, let me just tell you some of the things that I've been using it for. One of the main things is the orthopedic uses. It's been used to actually treat tears in the shoulder and tears of the knee. We're talking about ligaments. So we actually were able to see cases where they had MRIs studies of people who had 3 tears of their knees. This is really something that usually would require a knee replacement. And in fact, in one case, there were 2 orthopedic surgeons saying, you need a knee replacement. We can't help you. The surgeon won't help you. In this particular case, this patient decided not to do that, but to try the stem cell procedure. And there was clear evidence that when he got treated with the stem cells, that the after MRI actually showed that he had less tears, that the tears healed. And the fact of the matter, more importantly, is the patient was able to do squats, which before he wasn't even able to walk. So this clearly was a great example of how stem cells, when used in this fashion, was able to regenerate ligament inside the knee. This is unheard of in modern medicine at this point to be able to do that. And they've been able to use this for arthritis in the knees. And how many people in America have arthritis in their knees? I would say probably at least 20 to 30 million people. So all of these patients could benefit. Now, other things that they've used as well is cosmetics, which we will talk about next, but also to treat other diseases. Now, at this time, the FDA has only allowed the use of stem cells in a particular way for specific purposes. At this point, it is all right to treat people who have some type of musculoskeletal pain. It is not okay at this point to treat someone who has a specific disease entity. Up until just a few months ago, you were not able to treat anyone with diagnosis of arthritis, though you were able to treat someone with knee pain. So they make a clear distinction between what is a symptom versus a disease. But now some sites are being allowed to do treatments for arthritis. They're using this in many different ways, but they're using it in other countries. So if you have some type of, let's say, neurodegenerative disease, such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, they are using it right now. If you have, let's say, a spinal cord disorder, there are testing and treating patients right now. If you have blindness related to retinal degeneration, they're treating these patients now. If you have any type of muscular dystrophy, any type of type 1 diabetes, they are treating these patients now. If you have, let's say, what we call critical care ischemia, which is basically when there's no circulation left in the leg and you're faced to go with an amputation because the limb is so ischemic where there's no blood supply, it's unhealthy, and you're trying to save, let's say, this limb, there are actually half-treated patients with this condition as well. So this is something that they unfortunately are not able to do at this point in America. They are actually treating these patients outside. One of the centers that they're using actually is in Mexico. And because it's a lot more lenient there, they do have doctors who are specialists in that area who are treating patients, and they are actually sending patients from the U.S. down there to be treated. And what they're trying to do is to get enough data for the FDA. So these diseases are being treated, and there are countless of other diseases that can be treated. We've also treated patients with end-stage emphysema, end-stage congestive heart failure, and they're injecting it either through the IV or injecting it in the actual blood vessel to the heart, let's say, and injecting stem cells. And what they're seeing is miraculous. They're seeing the heart actually start to pump harder, to have more contractility, which is a sign that the heart is regenerating, at least to some degree. And these are patients who have end-stage problems where they would actually probably die very soon. So these are severe cases. We were actually unfortunate to see a case where there was a person who had no blood supply in their legs, and they were about to have amputations. They were sent down there. They injected the stem cells in the actual tissue in the leg, and within, I would say, months, they saw new blood cells form. Mm-hmm. So it was incredible to see mm-hmm. a before and after pictures of what they used as a contrast study, where they actually didn't see any blood in the first before picture, and then months later they saw blood going all the way down to the foot. And so they were able to actually save this person's limb and help heal this chronic ischemic ulcer. And that was truly a remarkable thing to see. One of the things that we also did see as well is, remember that one video with the dog?
Yes, that couldn't walk up the stairs or down, yes.
So they've been obviously treating animals as well, and they're using that as a way to study how the procedure goes as well, to kind of perfect the techniques. But there was a dog that actually was 20 pounds overweight, and this is a small dog, and very old, mm-hmm. wasn't able to climb the stairs.
Well, he lost total function in the back limbs, right, because he was just so old.
And he couldn't climb the stairs because mm-hmm. He was too weak to climb it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they did stem cells in the dog, and then I think it was like a month or 2 months later.
I think sooner than that. He was running up and down the stairs like nothing.
And the dog was actually
thinner.
It was like way thinner. You couldn't recognize the dog. I said, is this the right same dog? Because the dog didn't look like the old dog. Mm-hmm. But it was the same dog. And so miracle. And this is the type of results that they're seeing with the use of stem cells. So that's why I think I wanted to talk about this, because this is something that most people haven't never heard about, and this is really the future of medicine. So when we come back, let's go over how this procedure is and what is involved in this and how we are going to be using this in our clinic, and how this is going to be not as difficult as people may seem it to be. So please stay tuned to listen to that.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections featuring Dr. Adam Rubinstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with, and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubenstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
It's a beautiful day.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at R-E-J-U-V-E-Medical.com. Now, back to this week's show.
It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. I'm Dr. Tang. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. If you would like to call us, 866-472-5792, or you can send us an email for more information at John Tang, J-O-H-N-T-A-N-G, at Rejuve, R-E-J-U-V-E-Medical.com. So for patients to be a candidate for this, obviously you do need a source. The harvest site needs to have some fat. And so it's kind of ironic how in the last two presentations and two talks, we talked about how you can trim your fat. And here we're saying that you need some fat for this procedure. Now, how this will happen is you first determine the area that you would like to harvest the fat. Oftentimes it's the stomach, but it could be other areas as well. This is a little bit different than traditional liposuction in the sense that you have to be much more careful about how you take away the fat. And the amount of fat that you're doing for this procedure is much, much smaller. So this is just to harvest the fat. Now, obviously, we want to take this in a way that makes the area that's left very cosmetically pleasing. So you have to be very careful on where you take it, how much you take. You don't need to take a lot, and it kind of depends what you're doing, obviously, in terms of how much stem cells you need. But this is not where you would actually do body contouring or body shaping as a traditional liposuction procedure. So you would actually what you would need basically is you would have a what we call tumescent anesthesia, which is basically where you will be wide awake, but you will be numb. And there's a minor procedure where we have to infuse a certain amount of fluid to numb the area. And as we numb the area, we'll be using an instrument, basically, to take out the fat. Now, this is a special designed instrument that's different than the typical liposuction instruments that are normally used. This instrument has to be where it protects the fat cells so that there is minimal damage to the actual cells as they're being extracted out. So you are going to be having anywhere from 60 to 120 cc's of fat on average, which is not that much, maybe up to 200 cc's of fat. So not that much fat. So once we harvest those stem cells, we're actually going to go through a certain process, and this is a much involved process where we have to clean out this whole fat cells. Well, we have to take out all the red blood cells. We have to clean out the fat. It requires multiple washings of certain types of detergents and things that just help to isolate only the stem cells. That requires usually at least a couple hours of processing. So that's really kind of the new part, is really following this process to isolate the stem cells.
And it's the process is quite intense, in the sense, if you're doing it yourself, it's a very tedious process. But at the end, it just amazes me that there's even actually a way to extract these cells, because like you mentioned, you know, depending on where you're going to put the cells and what you're doing, it will determine how much fat we remove. But from a volume of, like you said, 120 or 200 cc's, we're probably only going to get, you know, and like you mentioned, 2 hours of a process is about a half of a cc or less of stem cells that are going to be so potent and viable in the correction of wherever you're putting it. And that's what's really the most fascinating thing to me. When we went to this course and it was so involved, like, you know, half of the morning you're removing the fat, and then the rest of the day you're processing, harvesting the fat and harvesting the stem cells. And then at the end of the day, then you're actually putting it where you want it to go.
So what you're left with actually is even like a quarter of a teaspoon, I would say, even smaller than that. And in that small amount that you get, there's an average of 50 to 100 million stem cells.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a quite a large number, though it looks very, very small. And so what they do also is they activate these stem cells with the use of something called PRP, which is something we talked about earlier. But the idea is that you actually get your blood, and we actually spin the blood and remove all the cells except for the platelets, and then we activate the platelets so that they can release something called growth factors. And those growth factors will help to stimulate the stem cells. So you have two kind of concoctions into one syringe, let's say. So in the example of the knee, after you kind of mix these two together, we actually inject it right into the knee. Mm-hmm. And that's all it takes, basically. Now, it takes some time for the stem cells to grow. And in fact, most patients, well, all patients will come back once again to have one more injection of PRP again, just to kind of continue their growth. But patients can see a change actually within weeks. Obviously, there's going to be some soreness, maybe some swelling from the procedure for a few days. But the interesting thing is that these stem cells and PRP is also very healing. So the amount of swelling is actually, I would consider at a minimum. And so the body kind of heals very quickly. And so people can start seeing results in a few weeks. Now, we usually recommend, or they recommend, that you wait, let's say, 3 months, 6 months down the road to see the full results. But this is something that one can see. Now, in our training course, we actually were able to treat several different patients. We injected or treated some knees. We did some with shoulder. And we also did a facial fat transfer. So one of the other indications that one can use for the stem cells is actually mixing the stem cells into fat so that you can transfer it. And so that's going to also, I think, revolutionize fat transfers as well, because what has been a known procedure for 40 years, where plastic surgeons have taken fat and injected directly back into the face, has not necessarily become a very popular procedure, because the lifespan of this fat that was transferred was only about 30 to 40% where the actual cells actually survived. And so because of the unpredictability of these fat cells being able to survive or not, people were not able to have the kind of result that they could necessarily have. With the idea of using stem cells in augmenting the actual fat, it has been found that these fat cells were able to survive at least twice as much. So what used to be a 30 to 40% survival rate is now approximately about 80%. So that means that there's going to be a lot more predictability and results are going to be much more fabulous. And the reason why this occurs, where the fat actually survives this whole transfer, is that the stem cells, they can now actually divide and become blood vessels. And so you're going to be able to get new blood vessel formation to feed all the fat, to feed other stem cells. So you're getting a much better supply of blood circulation, which keeps them alive. The other additional thing about the facial fat transfers with the stem cells is that these stem cells are actually able to differentiate, or they grow up into other types of very useful parts of the skin, for instance, elastin and collagen. This is what makes the skin look healthy. So in the examples that we saw, the patient's skin looked fabulous, where someone who was in the 50s looked like they were in their early 40s. And it was because they had more volume, which was why they did the procedure, but the skin just looked like a younger person's skin. And this is something that was it kind of blew us both away when we saw this. It was like, wow.
It was very impressive.
And you look at this and like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And the good news is that the person who receives this type of treatment, their results are going to last 5 to 15 years, which, you know, for the typical patient who gets a filler, for instance, which is a cosmetic injection, they might get 6 months to a year, even 2 years. But to get 5 to 15 years and the results to look even better than anything imaginable, that's really incredible. And so we were able to kind of see that. Now, the amazing thing also is that because the fat is so much more viable, they are now able to combine these stem cells and use the fat for breast augmentation, where you can actually get a one-size cup bigger and have it look natural and feel natural. And that, I think, for many women who desire breast augmentation, now it's going to be an option, because there's no better thing than to have your own fat, to have the natural feel, and for this to last 10, 20, 30 years, because that fat is going to stay. In a traditional breast augmentation, if you use implants, for instance, the saline implants, they have a lifespan of, let's say, 10 years, and so you have to replace this. You know, and also with the implants, they don't look as natural, they don't feel as natural, and everything is really unnatural about the whole process. But when you're doing the actual fat transfer, you can actually really improve the results. So that has really, I think, opened up the doors for fat transfer breast augmentation. And this can also be applied for what they call the Brazilian butt lift, which is basically transferring fat to enhance and augment the butt, which before they had to use some type of, not a balloon, but some kind of device. It's an implant, but it never felt natural when you sit on it. It doesn't feel real. It feels unnatural, too. So this is something that truly is another remarkable thing that they've been using, and they've done it successfully over the last couple of years.
Well, the patient that we treated that day during our training, I believe that she had the augmentation, the breast augmentation, 2 years prior to doing the FAPE. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do.
And 2 years prior, her breast looked full, and it didn't look minimal at all. Like, if you know, the fear is, okay, I'm going to get this done, but is it going to last? And she had it 2 years ago, and it just looked, and it was amazing, because she was in her 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was in her late 50s, and she was looking pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely didn't look like a 50-year-old breast cell at all. It looked like a 30-year-old, even mm-hmm. younger than that. And And it looked very natural, and it was just everything about it was great. And so this is really going to change the way things are being done. And so it's becoming a little bit more acceptable in terms of fat transfers. I know when we originally studied liposuction with another plastic surgeon, he was saying basically that the American Board of Plastic Surgery really frowned upon this whole breast fat transfer idea. And now I recently saw an article that they are becoming more open to that. And so that's a good thing for patients.
Right.
Now, when we come back, we're going to wrap up. We're going to talk about some of the limitations of what we can be doing at this point, and what is the future of stem cells. So please stay tuned.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Tang. You're listening to the Healthy Video for Life show. We're talking about stem cells. And we've basically kind of talked in great detail about the process of getting the stem cells. Now, I wanted to kind of go over some of the things that are current in terms of what you can be doing with this process of stem cells and what you cannot be doing, and talk about some of the limitations of what we can do at this point. So at this point, the FDA has, and this is kind of with a lot of study, the FDA has allowed clinics to go ahead and use stem cells for the purposes of cosmetics. For the purpose of fat transfers, they have allowed this process to go forward, and there seems to be no problem. They've also allowed the use of stem cells for musculoskeletal type of conditions. Now, at this point, you cannot claim anything in terms of I wouldn't be able to say that I can cure this or that, this problem. We can say that we can treat knee pain, but we can't cure arthritis, and we can't treat this particular tear of this muscle. So that's something that is not allowed. All the things that I've mentioned in terms of these other diseases are not allowed at this point. So there has been other physicians who have treated these other types of diseases and have gotten in trouble. And so this is something at this point is only currently allowed in other countries. Now, if you are listening and you know somebody or you have a condition that you feel might be treated, you know, you might want to email me. If we can treat it here, we can refer you out to another facility outside the country, and they can treat you.
Hello?
So I wanted to be very clear about that. Now, the other thing also is the whole idea of who can have this done. So at this point, you are able to do it for yourself. You cannot take your stem cells and harvest your fat and give it to someone else. That's not something that is allowed. So it is what we call autologous. So using your own stem cells from your own fat, you can use it for yourself, but not anyone else. The other thing also is that you have to use it within that day. It is very much so where it is required that you use it for that particular day and not bink it. Now, that brings up another kind of concept, and that is this whole banking. There are many companies out there who say that it is legal to bank your cord blood, your stem cells. And at this point, at least, it is such that you can bank your stem cells, but you are not allowed to actually use it for yourself later on. So that kind of is a funny kind of concept, because if you can bank it, but can't use it, so what's the purpose? And so there are many companies out there who are making, I think, a lot of money doing this. And maybe at some point later in the future, the answer is yes, you can probably use it. But at this point, you have to be very careful about that. The other thing also is this whole idea that when you get the stem cells from your body, that you specifically use it just for a very controlled, minimal purpose. You cannot take these stem cells and start growing them and start doing other things. And you can't take, let's say, a heart stem cell and put it into a brain and try to grow a brain. So they don't allow for any other use other than the fact that of what I mentioned. So you do have to be very careful about those particular issues. But like I said, stem cells are truly, truly amazing. And, you know, when we start this, so in our area, there's nobody that we know of that's going to be doing that. And, you know, this is going to change very rapidly, I believe, in the next 10 years, where many other places are going to be offering this, because the need is so great. There's so many patients out there who need this. And this clinic has actually spearheaded the whole idea of trying to get FDA approval. The whole end goal for what they're trying to do is to make this so it's FDA approved. In order to get this FDA approved, they need the data to be able to present to them to say that this is safe, this is actually a worthwhile procedure, and this is how many patients we've done. This is why they've actually taking the steps to be developing these protocols for all these different diseases and actually doing these research trials in other countries. So eventually they will present this to the FDA.
And I just want to quickly add, because you had mentioned what's legal and what's not and what's illegal. I just wanted to add that we're not promoting you to go and do something that's illegal. And what we're saying is, if you have an ailment or something that is concerning you, we are very much for encouraging you to look into other countries so they can continue to produce continue to do this research to produce these facts, so then we can get it FDA approved here. Because that's the ultimate goal, is that the FDA will look at this procedure and see how vile it is for people's lives and actually approve it, so you wouldn't have to go out of the country and seek treatment for whatever ailment you have.
And at this point, a prime example is the whole idea of knee arthritis. This clinic has provided enough details and data to show the FDA that this is a worthwhile trial to do. So they've actually got approval for a study and to collect data, and we actually have been enrolled in this particular study. So what that basically means is that we could actually say that we can treat arthritis with stem cells, and it's okay, because they have actually what do they call an IRB, which allows you to legally treat people with arthritis and to mention arthritis in the same form. And so as more data comes out, there are going to be more diseases. What they're applying for is diabetes. What they're applying for is frailty syndrome. Fertility syndrome just means it's tired and old. And so as the years come out, you're frail. Hopefully I wouldn't get there, right? But as that comes out more and more, then they'll be able to enroll patients in that. And so that would qualify anybody basically who is above 50, 60 years old to be able to get injections. And one of the interesting things is that some of these illnesses, all they can do is do an IV injection. And what they're counting on is this concept of the stem cells going through the blood and figuring out where to go and what to do. And that particular area that's diseased and needs repair, let's say, is going to tell the stem cells, grow into this, and it becomes that. So this whole concept of stem cells regenerating tissue is truly amazing. So in any case, we're actually running out of time. Thank you once again for joining us. Next week, we actually haven't decided what we're going to talk about, so we'll kind of figure that as we go. But thank you once again for joining us. And remember, go out and live your life and don't let life leave you.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Health and Beauty for Life is heard live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Live younger this week. It's a beautiful-